By now, you probably know this is officially the first day of spring. Many people are watching eagerly as bulbs pop up and blossom and migratory birds return north. Scientists who study the effects of global warming are watching with particular interest. They want to know if plants and animals are starting their spring rites earlier now. As Daniel Grossman reports, climate researchers in Britain have turned to amateur nature watchers for help.
Come on, you're not got a phobia about cats or anything, have you?
No.
That's all right. Some people do have them. My pussy's friendly and comes round to people.
Mary Manning is a perky, retired school teacher who lives in Norwich, England.
Do you have a seat if you can find one? Would it be all right in here?
Mm-hmm.
These are some of my journals. I use all sorts of funny books.
We sit by a window overlooking a small garden packed with plants. She flips open a notebook.
It occurred to me one day when I was pottering about in my garden that my mother always was pleased if she had daffodils out ready for Easter to decorate the church. And I thought, daffodils at Easter? My daffodils are out and over and gone already before Easter's Eve got here. Then I thought, I think I'll write down each year when daffodils come out.
That was in 1965, way before scientists noticed the Earth is warming up. But Mary Manning wondered whether something in nature was changing. She began jotting down the earliest flowering dates of her daffodils and of other plants as well.
This is the bank that in the spring is covered in aconites and crocuses and snowdrops. It's where I record all those. If we go down here.
She leads the way around the curved path she's walked every day for 40 years. She's never let anything get in the way of these observations, not even the stroke she had last year.
I don't always rejoice on a frosty, cold morning in December to come out at 9 o'clock. Very often in my dressing gown, recording weather and plants out in flower. It's not the jolliest thing to do, but it's got to be done. Don't want to let the record slip. It's important.
Important because journals like hers have now become a unique source of information for researchers studying the effects of climate change on wildlife. Scientists have never been paid to watch the grass grow, but Britain's amateur nature watchers have been doing more or less just that for centuries. Down the road from Mary Manning, the Marsham family recorded the arrival of the cuckoo bird, the first beech leaf, and other signs of spring for 222 years, beginning in 1736. Records like these are helping scientists to find out whether plants and animals are waking up earlier in response to Earth's warming.
That's white dead nettle.
In a field near his office at York University, ecologist Alistair Fitter points to a spindly green stalk. 2 years ago, Fitter and his father Richard, who kept his own nature diary for over 50 years, published a paper in the journal Science. They compared flowering dates in the 1990s with the previous four decades. The white dead nettle, the record breaker, bloomed 55 days earlier. On average, the 350 species they analyzed blossomed nearly 5 days earlier.
And if you just took the ones that were significantly changed, then the average was 15 days. So the species that were responding by something like 2 weeks in a decade.
Fitter says a shift of 2 weeks in just 10 years is a very significant change. Prior to the 1990s, plants in this group rarely ever blossomed so early. The British government has a Center for Ecology and Hydrology near Cambridge. Here, statistician Tim Sparks is also making important discoveries from the diaries of amateur naturalists. The researcher gingerly pulls a small loose-leaf journal bound in black leather from a high stack of notebooks and manila envelopes piled on his desk. Sparks gets given many of these journals by the families of wildlife watchers when they pass away. By poring over observations from hundreds of people, Sparks is able to study a variety of species over the entire United Kingdom.
July the 27th, bees arrived, very quiet. August the 3rd, saw queen. And so on.
Beekeeper William Coates kept his journal from 1945 to 1969. It shows that bees in Leicestershire produced honey earlier in the season and in bigger quantities in warm, dry years. Sparks says weather like this is increasingly more common in the UK. Other journals show that across Great Britain, the checker spot butterfly is hatching 2 weeks earlier today than 30 years ago. As findings like these accumulate, researchers are making a worrisome discovery. Plants and animals are not changing in synchrony like musicians following a conductor who's picked up the pace. Instead, species are changing at different rates. Richard Fitter says this disruption could cause the complex relationships between plants and animals to break down. He says everything from food supplies for animals to reproduction of plants could get out of whack.
What you're likely to see is species going extinct from communities, and the reason would seem at first obscure. You wouldn't be able to work out why this had happened.
Richard Fitter says one reason this could happen is that plants that used to grow at different times begin growing together.
If you take a patch of grassland, you've got five different species of grass and buttercups and other things growing here. Now, if you study them very carefully, what you'll find is that they're not all growing at the same time of year. And one of the ways in which they avoid competition is by growing at subtly different times of year. Now, if they end up growing at the same time of year, they will compete with each other, and one of them will probably win out.
The relationship between plants and insects could also be thrown off. Fitter worries that insects might begin to hatch at the wrong time for pollinating plants, or plants might blossom too early or too late to feed insects, and so food webs will be torn. For example, he says a research team has discovered that caterpillars in Dutch forests are beginning to hatch and mature before their food, early spring oak leaves, is ready. It's too soon to know how far-reaching changes like this will be. The government's Tim Sparks says that plants and animals have adjusted to changes in their climate before.
There's no doubt that we'll still have a planet that is vegetated, but the communities, the types of woodlands, for example, that we may have in the future will not be similar to those that we have now.
And this time a whole army of wildlife watchers will be taking notes. Sparks has helped to recruit more than 20,000 observers. This new generation of amateur naturalists will help researchers build up a better picture of how wildlife is responding to Earth's warming. For National Public Radio, this is Daniel Grossman.